It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As students prepare to head back to school, are there enough teachers? Districts across the country say they're scrambling. A June survey by the U.S. Department of Education found public schools expect to have to fill an average of 3 teaching vacancies for this school year. Join in on challenges in your school, policies you think could bring stability, where funding is most needed, and what your message is to lawmakers. 800-642-1234. Susan Minter is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators. She was Human Resources Director for a combined 19 years in the Pewaukee and Mukwonago school districts. Susan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Where around the state are you hearing concerns over staffing shortages? What is the situation like here?
Really, across the state, I'm hearing pretty much all school districts are struggling with some type of staffing, whether it be teachers, whether it be support staff. It's pretty much widespread across the state.
When you say that it is widespread, is it crisis level? Is it just a bunch of positions that are hard to fill year over year? Can you give us a little bit of a feel for what school districts are trying to, compensate for?
Well, I think we can look at it as a challenge. I wouldn't say it's crisis level. I mean, school is going to start regardless. So we will have teachers in place. We will have staff in place. Will every position be filled? Not necessarily, but that's no different from any other school year. I will tell you that it is very challenging to find some of the very specialized positions. So, for example, a highly skilled physics teacher or a speech pathologist, those types of positions, but they're always challenging to fill. Just like private industry, you can't go anywhere without seeing a help wanted ad, right? Mm-hmm. So it is very challenging right now due to the labor shortage. And I think part of it is that, a lot of people going into college are not putting teaching at the top of their list of careers that they could look at.
What is the role of HR in districts when staffing levels are at this intensity and this difficulty?
Well, part of it is that HR directors have to be very creative in finding new ways to recruit staff. So, for example, one of my districts talked about walk-in Wednesdays. So every Wednesday they have an open house format. They advertise it in the community where people can literally just walk in and be interviewed on the spot. So making it much more easy for applicants to apply, doing a much more widespread reach out to candidates, whether that be teaching or whether it be support staff. For example, bus drivers are challenging to find, mm-hmm. So across the board, they have to be much more creative in reaching out in different ways.
I wonder, what is the situation around substitute teachers in these times? How are substitutes being used and are there enough substitutes?
Just like our regular teachers, we have a challenge in reaching out to substitute teachers. Certainly, our retired educators are a good source of substitute teachers, as well as perhaps, moms and dads that are child rearing right now and are not ready to get a full-time position. But it's challenging to get substitute teachers. Certainly, we can tap our substitute teacher ranks to fill any open positions on a temporary basis until we can get somebody, permanently. But then that lessens the amount of people that are available for regular substitute positions. Certainly, I think it'll be a better position since we're hoping, knock on wood, that COVID isn't going to play such a huge role this year when school starts. So that will certainly help the situation. Last year was much more challenging with that situation. You know, with our baby boom generation retiring, we lost a huge amount to retirement. So it's been challenging to be able to fill those positions that were vacated.
Susan, how common is it for these teachers to retire and come back then as long-term substitutes?
Some of them are willing to do that. You know, it's nice when you're a substitute is that you can choose which positions you want to work, how long you want to work, where you want to work, etc. So they certainly have the flexibility. We have substitutes that are snowbirds, for example. They work, you know, until the winter hits and then they come back in spring. So that's a nice position for substitutes to be in. But it's difficult, you know. I mean, to find people who are available at a minute's notice, to find people who want to do maybe a 2 or 3 month long-term sub positions to fill in for a leave of absence, for example, it's difficult across the board.
I'm going to jump in here and reintroduce you as we talk about school staffing challenges with Susan Minter, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators, a voice for HR in districts. You can join in on staffing levels at your school, what you've seen, what creative solutions are coming up, and class sizes. What have you seen there? 800-642-1234. Susan, before we talk about funding, I want to ask you about the limited hiring window, it seems, for hiring teachers, usually starting in April or May and then wrapping up before the school year starts, so wrapping up in August. Is that holding back the work of getting enough staff on board?
I wouldn't say so. That's traditionally the time window that we always operate on. You know, it's funny because HR directors are probably the busiest they are during the summer. And, you know, when people come back, they, you know, or I have people say, you know, what do you do all summer? Well, the school doesn't open, you know, magically with everybody in place. So, spring is the time when people start looking for new positions. Their contracts typically go through June 30th. So that would be the time window in which teachers, for example, are looking for new positions or different positions. Graduates come out of universities. So that's been traditionally that it. And we have to get teachers hired by September 1st. They have to be in place, right? When kids are going to come, regardless of what happens. So we have a short time window to work with. But, you know, anybody who works in HR in schools knows about that and works within that time limit.
There was the Wisconsin Policy Forum study found our state's per pupil spending on K-12 education falls below the national average. How does state funding affect the calculus here, affect a school's ability to hire teachers?
You know, funding is always a challenge. Certainly, I'm not an expert at funding. My expertise is in HR, but you know, the ability to be able to pay competitive wages and attract people into the field of teaching is definitely a challenge when schools do not receive you know, an increase in revenue limits and the amount of funding that they need, they can't increase wages. And certainly we know that the private industry is, you know, increasing pay wages. Every time I hear radio ads or I hear, you know, TV ads for people and the wages are incredible. And that's difficult. Teaching is a calling, I believe, and you have to have an innate ability to be able to teach. But you also need to make a living wage, and the inflation situation is certainly not helping.
Let's bring on a call. Steve is with us from Sun Prairie. Steve, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I've talked to a number of teachers that are upset with the politics that are involved in relation to schools. And if you go to the DPI website and some of the programs that we push through the schools, they are very political. And it seems like that is creating an environment that causes friction between parents and teachers. Is there a call to have the DPI and these other educational establishments back off with some of their lefty propaganda stuff so that we don't have to put this pressure on teachers to enter the political arena?
Steve, thank you. Susan, what do you make of that?
You know, we work with DPI pretty closely. You know, just as other government situations, we have to abide by what DPI goes by.
Department of Public Instruction. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Correct. So, you know, we certainly don't set the politics that DPI has. So we follow what they, you know, what comes down from DPI.
Governors in other states last year ordered the National Guard to serve as substitute teachers in understaffed schools. Should Governor Evers call on the National Guard to fill in gaps at Wisconsin schools if need be?
I'm not hearing that crisis situation at this point. I really don't think there's a need for that. I think that we'll be able to start school. I think that, you know, 98% of our positions will be filled and school will open just as usual.
Susan Minter leads the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators. Their mission is to advocate for human resource professionals in education, maximize the effectiveness of HR practices in Wisconsin schools. Join in on vacancies in your district, how you are attracting teachers and support staff in new ways, what communication you're providing families. Families, what you're hearing about staffing. 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Big questions as we enter the new school year. Are teachers leaving the profession in large numbers? Will more classes begin the school year led by substitutes? Did the pandemic worsen these issues? So these were questions raised by Chalkbeat on Thursday that said, look, the definitive data isn't in. There is little firm evidence to support claims of an unprecedented crisis. Still time to talk about education and staffing levels in your district, what you're seeing, what you want to tell lawmakers about staffing. 800-642-1234. Susan Minter heads up the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators and stays with us. Susan, as we talked about substitutes, some districts around the country have also resorted to hiring underqualified teachers, people who have the college degree but no official teacher training. Is that at all an issue in Wisconsin?
Certainly the Department of Public Instruction allows for the hiring of candidates with a bachelor's degree to become substitute teachers. Most districts, if not all, provide some type of training or at least, you know, mentorship for these substitute teachers, you know, and certainly teachers leave great lesson plans for substitute teachers so that they don't feel like they're floundering in front of the children. We would never do anything that would jeopardize a child's learning or their ability to continue education while a teacher is absent.
When you look at the turnover, as you mentioned, teaching is a calling, but you have to support it with a living wage. Does the data point to more turnover with underqualified teachers or with teachers who can go elsewhere and you know, find a better job? Where is the most acute turnover?
Certainly, as I said before, you know, we have retirements with the last of the baby boom generation. You know, that was a huge bump. And so that was led to some of the shortages. In addition, the pandemic last year, some teachers just basically said, it's not worth it. I'm going to step away. We're seeing some of those teachers come back. So that's an encouraging fact. But, you know, certainly all those factors led to challenges, as well as, you know, there's not a lot of students graduating from education out of the universities. So all of those things combined lead to some of the problems in the labor shortage.
Let's hear from Jake in Appleton now. Jake, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm a relatively young adult myself, and I look at my peer group who are looking for careers coming out of school and maybe even in the Midwest, so we can expand the locality a bit even. But my question to the speaker would be, our state has a pretty hefty surplus right now, and to combat inflation, to make teaching careers more appealing, how are we not using some of this funding? How are our leaders, how are school administrators not, you know, advocating for taking some of this surplus and divvying out accordingly? I find that might be an opportunity we haven't really explored, or have we? Thank you.
Jake, thank you. The nearly $4 billion budget surplus, Susan.
Well, you know, certainly school funding is definitely a challenge. And again, I'm not an expert in funding. However, you know, school budgets are, it's basically set by revenue limits by the state budget. So certainly we are advocating for additional funding. We continue to do that. We're hoping that the next budget that's being developed right now will include additional funding, you know, to help with those types of situations. You know, unlike a private business that might be able to increase production and increase profits, schools can't do that. They have a limited amount of money. And that money comes from the state and the federal and local. So whatever money we have, we try and advocate. And certainly personnel makes up, salary and benefits makes up a large percentage of that budget. So we utilize every dime penny we can, but there's, the pot is limited. So if, unless we can increase that overall funding, there's not a lot of extra money to increase salaries.
Susan, how could the state incentivize teachers to stay in the profession for longer periods of time? What could be done policy-wise?
You know, certainly I'm not a government expert. You know, we, again, I think some increased funding would certainly help schools be more creative and in, you know, putting together better wage packages, perhaps some better benefits, et cetera. You know, it's a challenging, I think we have to find a way to incentivize students in middle school and high school to start considering teaching as a viable career. I think it starts there. Certainly education has gotten pretty beat up in the last couple of years. And so we have to find a way to, you know, get more students into that pipeline and get more graduates out of there so that we build up that base and build up the excitement around education and the service they can provide to students.
We're talking about school staffing, HR challenges, and districts with Susan Minter, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Susan, what policies could help, you know, build a larger tent, if you will, make hiring more inclusive, trying to, you know, have less bias in the hiring process with ageism and racism and sexism, and bring more teachers in from all walks of life?
Well, certainly HR directors are, you know, sensitive to all of those types of situations. HR directors lead the fight against, you know, discrimination of any type and, you know, promoting inclusion. We encourage all candidates to apply, and certainly that, like I said, we lead the charge on that and make sure that our hiring administrators are following policies and following those types of things. In terms of the government, again, you know, it's hard to say what overall policies could be set. We just have to literally get more people into the pipeline. And that really starts with, you know, parents encouraging their high school students to consider teaching. It starts with, you know, the local community looking at schools as, you know, a great career opportunity for students. So it really starts with the whole, you know, it takes a village, right? So it starts with everybody really encouraging that education is important and we need to get the most talented individuals into there.
I wonder, with a few seconds left here, are you hearing about burnout among HR directors in districts with this continuous wheel of having to fill, having to plug holes for new educators?
Yes, absolutely. It's you know, HR directors are we like to be in the background. We're not usually out in front of the community and in front of parents, but we work very, very hard to make sure every position is filled and we have the best and talented people. But yeah, absolutely. And you know, we have had some turnover in HR directors as well. COVID was very, very difficult and very challenging for HR. And so we're just finally being able to take a deep breath and go, I think we might be over the hump, but they'll work to fill every position and have, you know, every classroom filled with a talented educator. So they're pretty tireless in what they're able to do.
Susan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Susan Minter, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel Administrators, a voice for HR practitioners in our state's education settings. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.